Labor is so scarce right now that companies are needing to offer pretty robust packages to retain their employees, if not attract new ones to their company.
You're tuning in to the InsureBreak podcast. It's the podcast about the latest and greatest trends in insurance. I'm your host, Ash, and I invite you to join us as we interview experts and executives in insurance, covering innovative practices, technology advancements, and insight into the future of insurance. This podcast is sponsored by Zelros. Zelros is an AI software solution for insurance to hyper-personalize the customer buying experience across all channels, boosting client acquisition, cross-sell, and upsell. In this segment, we sit down with a 24-year insurance veteran, Jeff Rowe, CEO of Premera Blue Cross. Prior to Premera Blue Cross, Jeff served as a president at Safeco for a short while, then served as president and CEO of LifeWise Health Plan of Washington. Today, employing over 3,200 people, Premera Blue Cross is the largest health plan insurance provider in the Pacific Northwest, serving more than 2 million people. Stick around until the end to get the full scoop on how Jeff turned around a business unit that was bleeding money to a profitable division. Listen in to get Jeff's perspective on how he sees the future of technology impacting the insurance industry and how engaging and listening to your customers can make or break your insurance business. We are joined today by Premera Blue Cross CEO Jeff Rowe. Jeff, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Ash. Good to be with you.
So as CEO of Premera Blue Cross, what is top of mind for you right now? And what are you most worried about?
Two things are really huge. One is the pandemic. We got to get past this or at least find a more effective way of living with it. So we're really focused on that. It's had a very material impact on our business. The costs of COVID have continued to escalate. They doubled in 2021 from what they were in 2020. We're projecting another increase next year. You know, that has major impacts clearly on people's lives, but also on the economy. And we just need to, as a society, find a way to get past this. The second thing that's really big on my mind is the affordability of healthcare. Frankly, it's too expensive for people. And often they don't get good value for what they pay. It's at the root of most things in healthcare. It's why government's attention is so great on healthcare, because people can't afford it. So the role of government continues to expand. Medicaid has expanded substantially in the last decade. Medicare Advantage continues to grow as a product. And you see increasing subsidies in the commercial sector too. The individual market, there are subsidies and exchanges. Those didn't exist 15 years ago. And they're put in place because the market itself is not functioning as effectively for all people as necessary. And the root of that, in my mind, is affordability. It's not something else. People can access healthcare. You can go to an ER and get care. You can buy insurance. Everybody gets insurance as they should. There's no pre-existing condition limitations. You know, there's no real underwriting for an individual coming in. Mm-hmm. Those are good things that have come from the Affordable Care Act. Problem is, healthcare is just still very expensive. And we need to find a way to bring that under control.
And there was a story that I'm just remembering that I read somewhere about when you first joined Premera, or maybe it was, you know, shortly after you joined, there was a small division of Premera that was like losing a lot of cash, like $1 million. I think it was $1 million a month or something. And, you know, through some process improvements, you were able to kind of turn it around. Can you take us through some of the, you know, maybe key processes or key things that enabled you to turn it around to, you know, I think it was 60% growth or something ever since?
Yeah, that was actually the first general management job that I got at Premera. It was running our small business lines. The line of business was suffering. As you said, it was losing considerable sums of money, $1 million a month. It was also losing membership. So customers were leaving us. And so healthcare costs were going up, premiums were going up, and the number of customers were going down. Not a good place for an insurer to be. And we just assembled a task force to rectify that situation. And the most important thing we did was we ran to the customer. Like, what is it going to take for us to reverse this? And most of the solutions were found in the product design. It wasn't competitive in the marketplace. And so we simply, through a lot of research, input from customers, discussions with regulators modified the product very substantially. We also bolstered that with a really strong communications plan. Most of our employer group business is sold by way of brokers. So we need to establish better credibility and understanding among that stakeholder group so that they would feel confident in representing and recommending our product to their customers. So we made those changes. It was not as simple as it sounds because there's a lot of math that goes into the product design. There's also a lot that goes into your relative position to others in the marketplace because of how people pick their insurance. But almost immediately when we were able to introduce those products, the line of business started to turn. And I can still recall in July of, I think it was 2004 or five when this happened, 2004, that month the business turned and it was like, I think we did it. This is good. It wasn't rocket science, as complex as it was, but the key thing we did was run to the customer and really understand what their need was.
Okay. So like come up with a series of questions and have discussions with them?
Yes, absolutely. You need to engage them, but you need to see what they're not getting and they do want. You need to see where your product stands relative to others. Does it have the features and do you offer the capabilities that people desire? And once we kind of sifted through all that, we were able to design a portfolio of products that were really attractive. And thereafter, the business grew substantially for, say, the next 3, 4, 5 years.
So the insurance industry has changed a lot. And obviously, with technology kind of exponentially getting better and better, what are your thoughts on technology trends and how the insurance market is kind of adopting technology to you know, further the industry?
Yeah. Well, first on tech, it's moved to the forefront of our business. So it used to be kind of a back office support function. It's not that at all. It's so core to everything we do today, whether it's in the way we engage with our members, how we operate our business, meaning process claims, the data insights that we gather from data. Those are all tech-based. So it's so central to our business. There's no IT and the business. They're one and the same today. And they're having a really dramatic effect. You can start to hospitals, for instance, are using technology today to diagnose things. They're looking at, say, images or something and using AI to assess those. We're not in the care delivery business in a significant way, so we're not doing that. But we're automating a lot of functions at our end, which I think streamlines the whole process, improves the experience, and lowers cost along the way. And we've implemented several kinds of things that have just substantially improved the service that we provide. So lower call volume. You know, one thing I learned from Amazon, just watching them, who is a client of ours, our largest, and we serve them on a national basis. You watch Amazon, they don't want you to call. In fact, they make it difficult for you to call, but they also make it easy for you to be served. And we used to celebrate at Primera the fact that we would get X number of calls a year and answer them in less than 30 seconds and resolve them in 2 minutes or something like that. And then we turned around and said, why are we getting these calls? I mean, we're doing something wrong. Every call is a defect. Mm. And we've, you know, thought differently about our business, whether it's the product or our communication. But importantly, technology has played a role in how we support people much, much better, so that they don't need to call. So I think you just see it kind of infused throughout our business. Virtual care, our virtual care skyrocketed in 2020, as you might imagine. People couldn't access the delivery system. They couldn't go to their doctor. And here they were on their phones now talking to some caregiver. So that exploded. We continue to offer that. The number of behavioral health visits for us, I think, went up, I don't know, fivefold or something between April of 20 and March of 21. I mean, it was just astronomical. So I think you'll continue to see technology leveraged for efficiency, for convenience, for experience. And as well as for insights, guidance, knowledge, how we direct people through that care journey that they have.
How do you feel like technology has kind of helped with better customer experience? And I know you mentioned like less calls, but like if a customer were engaging with Premier Blue Cross, I mean, how has technology kind of made better the customer experience?
Yeah. So I'll talk to that with respect to the doctor's experience, and that will also get to the member's experience too. We have tools now in place that enable doctors to look up a member's benefits, their eligibility, the status of a claim, soon to submit a prior authorization request. And we'll get several million calls a year. Well, after putting this in place in the first month, we saw our call volumes go down by 52% from doctors. 52% in 1 month. Wow. So you can imagine the experience that they have, and therefore the experience they can now give to their patients who are our members. Like, you're not sitting there in limbo waiting to understand whether you're eligible for this service or what your benefits might be or what the status of payment might be. All of that's known. So that would be one really important example. Our use of our mobile apps has gone up substantially. So we now enable people to look at networks, to search for a doctor. And behind that, using data analytics, we've been able to determine those doctors who are highest in quality and value. And so we depict that, we represent that to people right in their mobile app. So it's just easier for them to find the care they need. And because of that analysis, find the right caregiver for them.
I see. Okay. If you were to kind of envision the future 3 to 5 years from now, where do you see the insurance industry being? How do you see insurance being different?
I don't know that there's going to be radical change in the way insurance is done. I think it will be just more efficiently performed. There'll be more integration across the whole of the delivery system. There'll be more transparency of information. One of the drivers of affordability, frankly, is the absence of information about cost and quality information. You don't know what a doctor charges for the service you receive until you get an explanation of benefits long after that service has been rendered. Well, how can you be an effective consumer? So we'll be bringing more and more that information forward so that you can be a better consumer, frankly, and you can pursue the care that is of highest value and highest quality for you. So I expect that there'll be more of that for consumers. There'll be greater integration. One of the problems with data in healthcare is it's highly fragmented. What's in our system isn't known by a delivery system, let's say Providence or Virginia Mason, the University of Washington. They don't necessarily have visibility into what we know about a member, just as we don't have that visibility into what they know about a member. Mm-hmm. And yet, a patient is probably seeing, especially one with comorbidities, meaning they have a lot of different conditions, they're seeing a lot of different types of doctors. Well, the doctors would benefit by knowing who else they've seen, what drugs they're taking, what care they're receiving, et cetera. So over time, I think all that's going to be much more integrated. Mm. And that will then enable much more seamless administration of healthcare. Like, we won't have these long legs in when a claim is submitted or when a claim is paid. So there'll be greater financial visibility. There'll also be better processing related to all transactions, including those that are financial. Beyond that, I think a lot of the change will come on the side of care delivery. And there, I gave one example already. You'll see the use of technology and AI in particular to help understand somebody's symptoms. I don't think it will be administering any of that care. I think that's still going to be very people-centric, but I think it'll play a much greater role in what a caregiver is able to do and the efficiency of what they do for that patient.
Mm. Do you think that at some point in the future, agents will ever be replaced by bots, or there's always going to be kind of like real estate, right? There's always going to need to be an agent no matter. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's specific to the line of business. So for instance, that has essentially happened in the individual market. So where somebody's not buying or getting their health plan through an employer or another organization. So if you're buying it directly, you can go online today and have been able to do that for 10 plus years to purchase your policy. Washington State's got an exchange where all products from all carriers are aggregated. You go there, you calculate your subsidy, your premium, and you get to enroll basically. So that's essentially happening. For larger groups, say those even 50 employees in size up to certainly an Amazon, which is far larger than that. Right. I think there's going to be there's still a lot of people who will need to be involved. I mean, this is a complicated business. It's a significant spend for everybody, employers included. And you need the expertise of people to advise effectively.
Yeah, it's from an outsider's perspective, insurance is very like gray. Like what actually happens at insurance? What is insurance? You know what I mean? It's very gray for outsiders. So
yeah, very opaque. And we're trying to clean up some of those processes. I mean, the fact is that even payers have a significant role in the complexity that exists in healthcare today. And part of our role and the reason why we really run to the customer even today and want to be an Amazon-like health plan is because we need to simplify the experience that people get. I mean, we're seeking to earn the statement from our customers every day that we take good care of them and make it simple and easy for them. And that is kind of a guiding mantra that we have.
Yeah, and I read in one of your interviews as well that, you know, your industry, which is, you know, healthcare coverage, is a mature industry. You still see, you know, 25 to 50% growth over the next several years. And the biggest market of growth is the individual market, right? And do you think that's because of the work trends of like there's more freelancers now, independent contractors? Like, why do you think that is?
Yeah, the growth of the individual market is a function of several things. One, you just described, there are more people who operate independent of an organization. Another is the potential for employers to shift employees to the individual market, meaning get out of really offering the healthcare. That doesn't mean they're not still subsidizing it in some way, but they're sending people to another market. So the potential for growth in the individual market is there because there's this whole population of people who today get insurance through their employer who might in the future get it on their own, mm-hmm. much as they do for their other insurance needs, whether it's home or auto or anything else. So that possibility still exists. Now, whether it happens or not, a lot depends on the role of government going forward. It also depends on the competitiveness of the labor market. I mean, labor is so scarce right now that companies are needing to offer pretty robust packages to retain their employees, if not attract new ones to their company. And benefits are a core part of that. So I don't think you'll see a lot of employers getting out of providing that benefit simply because they need it to keep the people they have.
This podcast is sponsored by Zelros. Zelros is an AI software solution for insurance to hyper-personalize the customer buying experience across all channels, boosting client acquisition, cross-sell, and upsell. Thank you for tuning in to the InsureBreak podcast. Join us next month as we interview another insurance executive to gain insight on innovative practices, technology advancements, and what the future of the industry looks like. See you next month.